My name is Adilson, and you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
Support for CKUW is provided by the West End Cultural Center, your friendly local arts nonprofit. Community is important to us. Did you know the WEC offers free drop-in music lessons in partnership with the Manitoba Conservatory of Music and Arts? The tune-in program runs Tuesdays at the West End Cultural Center, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. for youth ages 12 to 18.
What do you read, my lord?
Words. Words.
Good morning. I'm Susan Hubert, and this is Bookworm on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, the show where I talk mainly about books that I have reviewed, I interview authors, and sometimes just talk about the books. But either way, this is a chance for you to find out more about what's available in the book world.
Good morning and welcome to the show for Tuesday, November 18th, 2025. I hope you had a good week. It's nice that the weather is still reasonable since I was able to cycle to the university today. So if you were listening to the last show, you heard all about migrant workers and food systems and how we need to do better with how we treat workers. And coincidentally, I didn't plan it this way, but I also chose two books about food-related things. I believe I've talked about one of them at least before, but one is called Our Little Farm, Adventurous and Sustainable Living, and the other is called Food Fight, From Plunder and Profit to People and Planet. So that'll be in a little bit, but I'll first start with news, events, and the weather. So in national news, according to Global News, British Columbia Premier David Eby has survived a non-confidence vote, or a non-confidence problem, and received support from almost 83% of delegates at a convention of BC's New Democrats, where the Premier discussed several resource projects. These projects include the North Coast Transmission Line and LNG projects in northern BC. Delegates at the convention also asked for the provincial government to build ferries and make a priority of shipyards in BC. Then in international news, according to the BBC, officials in Iran have been trying to induce rain by spraying clouds with chemicals in an effort to end the country's worst drought in decades. The process, which is called cloud seeding, took place over the Urmia Lake Basin on Saturday. Cloud seeding normally involves injecting clouds with either silver or potassium iodide, among other chemicals, allowing water vapor to condense more easily and turn into rain. Water reservoirs in the country are almost empty, and officials are talking of rationing Tehran's water supply in this year where rainfall has been at a record low. So that's the news. And then in weather, according to the weather from the Winnipeg Richardson International Airport, it's currently -4 and partly cloudy. And the forecast for today is 4 degrees and cloudy, then tonight 1 degree and cloudy. Then tomorrow, November 19th, 5 degrees with a 30% chance of showers, and overnight -3 with cloudy periods. For Thursday, November 20th, 1 degree and sunny, and then overnight -8 degrees and clear. For Friday, November 21st, 0 degrees and sunny, and then overnight -4 degrees with cloudy periods. For Saturday, November 22nd, 4 degrees and sunny, and then overnight -6 degrees with cloudy periods. And then Sunday, if they can tell that far in advance, the 23rd of November, 0 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud, and then overnight -7 with cloudy periods. So that's the weather for the next little while. Then I'll talk about some events as well. It's time for CKUW's event guide. From concert and club listings to community announcements, we help you keep in touch with what's going on in Winnipeg. So in keeping with the discussion of food, the UWSA Food Bank is having a donation drive, and the collection period goes until December 9th, 2025. Drop-off locations are the UWSA main office, UWSA daycare, UWSA info booth, Duckworth Gym, Elements, which is also the Richardson College for the Environment and Science Complex. And all of the donations must be brand new or unopened. And they do not accept mouthwash, razors, and cosmetics or makeup. So if you have any food items, cans of food or packages of noodles or rice or something like that, you can drop it off at one of these locations until December 9th of this year for the food bank donation drive. Then for another announcement, from December 17th to 21st, there will be A Christmas Carol readings with Richard Hurst and Ron Robinson. As many of you know, Ron Robinson is a volunteer here and has a show. So Ron Robinson evenings will be December 18th and 19th, and matinee on December 21st, Richard Hurst evenings on December 17, 20, and 21, and then evenings are at 7:30, and the matinees are at 1 p.m. For the pricing in the evening, it's $30 general and $25 for members, and matinees are $60 for adults, $55 for children, $55 for member adults, and $50 for member child. So it says, get into the Christmas spirit this December with Christmas readings at Delnavert. This year, two very accomplished gentlemen will join us as hosts. And so that's Ron Robinson, a longtime friend of Delnavert, and a radio host. And then there will also be Winnipeg musician James Hickerson accompanying Ron on guitar for these readings. And then returning to Christmas at Delnavert is actor Richard Hurst, a mainstay in Winnipeg's theater scene. So he has performed Christmas Carol readings at Delnavert in the past in the 1990s and 2000s. And so he'll be returning for this holiday season. So that's A Christmas Carol readings with Richard Hurst and Ron Robinson between December 17th and 21st at 7:30 p.m. for the evening readings and 1 p.m. for the afternoon reading, the matinee. So those are a few of the events listed in the guide. If you'd like to have your event listed as well, please drop by CQW, email us at cqw@uwinnipeg.ca, or call 204-786-9782. Now, as I mentioned, the two books that I chose for today are both about food, and I guess the first one is a little bit more on the topic of farming rather than food itself. But this is called Our Little Farm, Adventures in Sustainable Living by Peter and Miriam Vollleben, translated by Jane Billinghurst. The authors are German, by the way. So I started my review by saying this. Many people dream about leaving their old lives behind to begin something entirely new, especially when the project has a larger purpose. In Our Little Farm, Adventures in Sustainable Living, Peter and Miriam Vollleben describe their experiment in living sustainably with both successes and failures as they discovered new ways of reducing their impact on the environment. Our Little Farm relates the lessons that Peter and Miriam learned during the decades that they had spent attempting to live sustainably. For the Vollleben family, as the authors state, this experiment was never intended as a complete change of lifestyle, but rather an attempt to add only the sustainable practices that were manageable for the family. So if they needed something that, or they really wanted something that wasn't necessarily sustainable, they would consider it, but it wasn't entirely out of reach if it was something that made life better for them. The book is less of a day-by-day account of this adventure than a description of the overall project and the conclusions that the Vollebens reached. Among the topics that the authors discuss are the calculations necessary for raising goats, including the amount of land these animals need, the usefulness of goat's milk and hair, and how these animals fit with the family's overall goal. Deciding what to consider as staple foods, learning how to keep bees, choosing the right vegetables and fruits for the climate, and maintaining enjoyment of the project are all aspects of the adventure that the authors discuss. Our Little Farm, Adventures in Sustainable Living, includes very few personal anecdotes, but rather an overview of techniques that the authors discovered over the years. So there's quite a bit about things like parsnips and how well they grow and things like that, but not as much about, well, one day they had to eat only parsnips and had to find a different way of making parsnip soup or something. Casual readers looking for an inspiring story of sustainable living might be disappointed by the very limited discussion of daily challenges, such as learning a new routine to care for the animals, or the struggles of relieving a monotonous diet if one crop flourishes while another fails. For instance, at one time of the year there would be certain vegetables, and at another time there wouldn't be those vegetables. And if you can't go to a store where the store owner has brought in fruit from a different country, then you would have to have a very monotonous diet. The book contains very little of this, as I mentioned, very little of the day-to-day struggles or day-to-day triumphs, but the authors touch on briefly on some of these topics. Even though it's set in Germany and the soil and climate are different there, for people thinking of starting their own experiments into sustainable living, the book could provide some valuable insights. Even though as it took place in Germany, as I mentioned, the principles behind sustainable living are similar wherever people live. Concepts of mindfulness and an appreciation of nature apply everywhere, and readers can use those ideas from the book to relate to their own situations. So, for instance, if you want to grow something that needs to be planted very early in spring, then that would be something to consider that wouldn't necessarily be the same in Germany, but if you're mindful of the rhythms of Canadian weather and how that works, it can really be useful then. Despite several technical sections, Our Little Farm is quite an easy book to read, smoothly translated from the original German. Recipes scattered throughout the text help to make the book practical, although North American readers will need to convert the European-style measurements to something that they are able to use. Overall, one of the main benefits of this book is that it shows that sustainable living, at least at a certain level, is a real possibility for people who are willing to work at it. The authors mentioned that as well, that it's not something that you do on the side. It's much easier just to go to a store and buy the groceries that you need rather than to grow it, to grow the food that you need. So, for many readers, Our Little Farm, Adventures in Sustainable Living could be a good choice for helping to inspire changes in their lives. And now about the authors. Peter Wohlleben worked for many years as a forester before beginning to write for a living. He's the author of several books, including The Hidden Life of Trees and other best-selling books on the natural world. He manages a sustainable forest and runs the Wohlleben Forest Academy from his home in the Eifel Mountains of Germany. Miriam Wohlleben, his wife, manages the back office, using her background as an industrial clerk to help her in this task. She grew up in the city, but is now dedicated to country living. So that's Our Little Farm, Adventures in Sustainable Living by Peter and Miriam Wohlleben, translated by Jane Billinghurst. That's Greystone Books, and is 215 pages. So that's one of the books that I wanted to talk about. And now maybe I'll play a little bit of music. And so this is Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky, the Manfred Symphony Opus number 58, and I'll play part of Lento Lugubre, Moderato con moto, andante. So I hope you'll enjoy that. Welcome back. That was part of Lente Lugubre from the Manfred Symphony, Opus 58 by Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky. That's with the Russian National Orchestra. So before the break, I was talking about a book called Our Little Farm, which is about some people who decided to experiment with sustainable living. And then the next book, which I believe I've talked about before, but not in a while, is called Food Fright, From Plunder and Profit to People and Planet by Stuart Gillespie. This is HarperCollins Publishers Limited, and it's 357 pages. Food is always newsworthy, whether the issue is famine in Gaza and South Sudan or the ongoing problems of obesity in wealthy countries like Canada. In Food Fright, From Plunder and Profit to People and the Planet, Stuart Gillespie examines what has gone wrong with the world's food systems, considering the opposing issues of obesity and starvation, and he makes suggestions for how to fix the problem. Along the way, he provides a compelling look at the issues surrounding one of people's most basic needs. One of the main barriers to healthy eating, according to Gillespie, is what he calls big food, in capital letters. Like big tobacco and other industries, big food has funded and published much of the research on food while suppressing findings that show the harms of ultra-processed foods. Meanwhile, the industry has received generous subsidies to continue this harmful behavior. The costs of fresh, healthy food have risen beyond the capacity of many people to pay, while junk food has remained relatively inexpensive. The food industry has laid the blame for the resulting health problems on individuals, claiming that these issues are the consequence of insufficient self-control, rather than an industry that is deliberately using addictive substances in food. Part of the problem is the extent to which corporate interests affect food researchers and nutrition, or researchers in food, nutrition, and health. Conflicts of interest are common, with many studies steering researchers away from concern for public health. The way the survey questions are worded, the methods chosen for gathering information, and how the results are interpreted and reported all work to steer people away from concern for public health. Bribery and intimidation are also tactics that corporations use for maintaining control. Food Fight includes many examples of how the food industry manipulates information to suit its own agenda. What the public needs, the author says, is a more accurate narrative of obesity and malnutrition, looking at the factors that influence people's choices, rather than merely blaming them for making bad decisions. The last part of the book deals with the ways that people can help alleviate the problems in the food industry. Gillespie discusses the difference between philanthropy, which comes from expectations of return for the investment, versus giving, which has no such expectations. Although some readers might be confused as to the purpose of this section, it helps to establish the basis for Gillespie's call to help reduce inequalities and to support human rights and accountability. Food Fight, From Plunder and Profit to People and the Planet. Excuse me. This book is a thorough and generally well-written examination of some of the issues surrounding food. Although some more examples to illustrate his points would be helpful, the author includes an extensive section of notes and resources that people can consult for a better understanding of the issues. Whether readers are amateurs or professionals in the field of food and nutrition, Food Fight is a good book to choose. Then about the author, Stuart Gillespie has worked in food advocacy and finding ways to transform food systems for the past 40 years, dealing with many interventions into the public food and nutrition policy. This work has taken him to various United Nations agencies and in 1999 to the International Food Policy Research Institute. He founded the Regional Network on AIDS, Livelihoods and Food Security and the Transform Nutrition Research Consortium. Currently, he's continuing the fight for better food. So those are two books that I thought would be appropriate for these days, partly because we've been hearing a lot about first the starvation among the people of Gaza, and now the people of Sudan as well. And so, and I guess we're getting into a season of excessive eating as well, so it's probably good to consider some of these issues before the Christmas season comes and people gorge themselves on cookies and whatever else. But I hope that you'll stay tuned now for Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman, and that next week I'll have some other books to talk about, and we'll be able to discuss issues that are important for the world and for people personally as well. That's one of my goals in this show, not just to tell you some good books to read, but to get people thinking about various issues, because we need to, well, it's good to read what authors have written, but also to think for ourselves what might be important and how we can help improve things for people around the world. So in a few moments I'll end the show, but thanks for listening and have a great week.
What do you read, my lord?
Words. Words.
Words.
This is the end of Bookworm on CQW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg for today, and I hope that you have been inspired to pick up a new book to read. Be sure to tune in next week for more discussions about books, and thanks for listening.
Support for CKUW is provided by Organic Planet, Winnipeg's only worker-owned organic grocery and vegan deli, located at 877 Westminster Avenue, serving Wolseley and Winnipeg for over 30 years.
Local voices since 1963. This is CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
It's almost time for the third annual Fall Punk Rock Flea Market. If you're looking for that unique gift for that hard-to-shop for a friend or family member, or if it's time to treat yourself, the Winnipeg Punk Rock Flea Market has over 120 local DIY vendors to choose from.
So head on down to the Victoria Inn at 1808 Wellington Avenue on Sunday, November 9th, between 11:30 and 6 to find that amazing treasure. Entry is free, but we are accepting donations to support the market and our community partners. On Sunday, November 9th,
shop local, shop weird
at the Winnipeg Punk Rock Flea Market. Visit us at www.wprfm.ca or follow us on Instagram at wpgpunkrockflea for more details.
Tune in every Thursday from 10 to midnight for Phase 1 Radio. Broadcasting for the last 20 years, Phase 1 Radio features guest techno, house, and ambient DJs from around the world. Visit phase1radio.ca for upcoming guests.